Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is January 20th, 2018. Whoa, I almost said 2017. And we're here live for the next 2 hours. We're simulcasting on KMIL 105.1 FM right here that you're listening to now, and also at Rockdale at KRXT 98.5. So check it out. Give us a call here at the station if you got some things going on you want to talk about. The number is 254-697-6633. You can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Definitely go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Got all sorts of information going on there. We're also on Instagram, so, and also our YouTube page. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube page. Tons and tons of videos of penal codes, talking with the attorneys, product demos, the whole works. Become a subscriber there, too, and you'll learn a lot from that channel. Now, before I start the day, I grab my cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron, if you'll see it on the video later. It's excellent. It's consistently brewed the same way every time. That's why I like to go there. They've got a special going on, Oberto Beef Jerky. Everybody likes beef jerky, right? It's a great thing to put in your bug out bag. They've got them buy one, get one free. So that's a pretty good deal. Go to Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron and check out the deals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have an interesting show today. Today, instead of true stories, I'm going to read to you an article titled "Push Your Shooting Skills Beyond What You'll Think You'll Need." It's by Mike Ox, so we're going to read that. Pretty interesting. I'll read it. You know, when I read it, I liked it, and I'm going to share it with you so we can go over a few bits and pieces of it. Now, ladies, I'm sorry. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is sick today. He won't be on the air, so we're going to play a repeat, but it's going to be on Penal Code 4201, Protection of Property, Force to Protect Property. And that's always a good one to repeat because everybody always asks that question, so we're going to play that in the attorney segment. In the topic of interest segment, we'll be doing upcoming events and errands that you can become involved with. So open up your calendars and get ready to mark down all the stuff that I'll be talking to you about. Another segment of tactical snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman, and this week's soups and stews to keep you warm and satisfied. It should prove to be a stupendous segment. Groans from the audience. At 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the connoisseur of common sense, and the pontificator of practicality, and an all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, offered by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Sig Sauer P320 pistol. This is not your daddy's Sig Sauer. This is the new and improved Sig Sauer. So take a look at it by going to aaronsgunshop.com's Facebook page. Take a look at it and then call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to buy it. At 11:30, my special guest will be Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine here in Cameron, formerly known as Cameron Seed Company. Now, Kyle's going to be giving us some great info on how to get all your machinery ready for spring season. It's just around the corner, so don't let this cold weather fool you. Then, to close up the show, we have Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Ms. Key will show us some more self-defense techniques by using me as practice target, I am sure. Everybody seems to like that. All right, so we're going to start the show now. I'm going to go to this article. Well, actually, first, I've got a couple of newspaper articles here. I saw one. It says the headline is First Homicide of 2018. It's like almost like let's celebrate it. First homicide. It was the Temple Police Department began its first homicide investigation of 2018 Tuesday when a 60-year-old man was found shot in the 800 block of North 4th Street. So there you are in Temple. People are getting shot and killed. Then I have another one here. Trey, I'm hearing voices. Can we do something about that? All right. Here's another one. This is from January 19th. Woman beaten in home invasion. A 69-year-old woman was beaten early Thursday morning when two men reportedly broke into her home and assaulted her. The report said two men broke into the side door and assaulted the woman at the resident in the 900 block of South 13th Street. Her mouth was injured, and she was taken to Scott & White Medical Center for treatment. The only thing taken from the house was of the assaulted woman was a cell phone. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a lot of that in Temple. And what I'm trying to tell you is it can happen anywhere. It can happen in Cameron, in Rockdale, in any of the surrounding areas. If you hear my voice, it can happen there too. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. The world is not a nice place out there, so you got to get yourself prepared. Now, let me read to you this article by Mike Ox. It's called Pushing Your Shooting Skills Beyond What You'll Think You'll Need. Shortly after the invasion of Iraq began, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld famously said, "You go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time." This truth applies to armies at war, but it also applies to individuals in a fight for their lives, whether it's a soldier overseas or law enforcement or a civilian at home. We continually have to balance the need to be prepared for an event that may or may not happen with the reality that we have limited time and money. So true. When a fight for our life happens, we not only want to bring enough gun, but we also want to bring enough skill. And the harder you train, the easier you will fight. You want to train past the point where you feel confident. You want to train to the point where failure is impossible. Now I got to comment on that. Never underestimate your opponent, okay? So there's always room for failure because you never know what life's going to bring you. So be prepared the best you can. You may not need to shoot fast, one whole groups in a fight for your life, but it certainly might help to be able to put a round after round exactly where you want them to go. Amen to that. And practicing shooting fast, precise groups is a great way to make it happen. Can anybody say round robin competitions? Analyzing after action videos shows that a shooter who can put an effective round on target with 0.4 inch splits will likely win the fight, even though competition shooters regularly shoot quarter inch or 0.15 inch or faster splits of 0.4 inch. These are times as considered slow. So keep pushing your speed, but don't be overly critical if you're not blazing fast. A shooter who has a 3-second draw stroke from concealment and a 1-second reaction time, 4 seconds total, will always beat the shooter who has a 1-second draw stroke and a 5-second reaction time. One of the most common phenomena in shooting is that people freeze for way longer than they believe possible unless they've programmed and conditioned responses. Now, that's so true. That's why we do the round-robin competitions. So keep working on pushing your draw stroke speed. It's important, but make sure your technique stays crisp and that you stay alert. Most assaults happen in low light. Try to practice in low light conditions that you think are close to what you'd experience, then go darker. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's why my range is designed the way it is, in low light situations, because that's usually when it happens. The better you get doing drive fire drills in the dark, the better and more comfortable you'll be with every lumen of light that you add to the situation. Most fights involve movement. Spend the majority of your movement training at a speed where you can perform at a high level no matter how slow, so that you're building a solid foundation. But make sure to push the pace for a few reps, maybe even past what you're used to in real life, so you know how it will affect your performance. Most fights involve fear and the release of fear, stress chemicals like cortisol. One of the drills I do is to stand with my dry fire pistol on the ground in front of me, with a target about 10 feet away. I breathe out as much as I can and hold my breath, drop to the ground, do 10 to 20 push-ups, pick up my gun, stand up, and then fire as many precision shots as possible before breathing. It's painful, but there's no real cause for pain. My brain is panicking, but there's no real reason to panic. My stomach will sometimes spasm, but I will will myself to calm down and make the shots before I let myself breathe. You can do this sitting on your couch, too. Just count 10 to 20 before you start doing your dry fire reps. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to read the entire article, but what it's trying to tell you is there's all these different aspects of training when it comes to actually firing the shot. What you need to do is break down your training, practice each one of those segments, and get past your comfort level. Because once you pass your comfort level, you just raised your comfort level so you can get better and faster and quicker and more accurate. So you want to constantly train so that you can reduce the amount of time it takes to draw the weapon and reduce the size of your shot pattern under stress. And once again, the round robin is a great way to get those things done. A lot of fun, good practice, cheap way to learn. And if you do well, you actually might win a prize. Okay. Now, as we're ticking away here on the clock, I'm trying to stay on a timeline here. So we're going to read my opinion piece. And this week it is called Racist, Bigot, or King? Ladies and gentlemen, are you a racist? Are you a bigot? Or are you a king? I guess before we can answer that, we should be sure as to what these words truly mean. Let's not be ignorant. Maybe I should define that word too, ignorant. Let's start with racist. Racist is a noun. A person who shows or feels discrimination or prejudice against people of other races or who believes that a particular race is superior to another. Okay? What about a bigot? A bigot is a noun. A person who is intolerant towards those holding different opinions. And now, since I brought it up, what is ignorance? Ignorance, too, is a noun. Lack of knowledge or information. So let me first address the racist. Every human on the earth breathes the same air, bleeds the same blood, feels the same emotions, and is created by the Almighty. So get over your superior thought process, because you ain't. You have just, by good fortune and the blessings of God, been blessed maybe with a little bit more than someone else. To you, the bigot, most of your opinions suck, just like the rest of ours do. You ain't special when it comes to an opinion. And yes, I'm using the word ain't. To all you ignorant people, well, now you know. So get your heads out of your fourth point of contact. Which leaves us now with the king. Are you a king? I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr., the man who hopes that we all judge people by their character and not their color of their skin. Although I don't wear a crown, I consider myself a king. And in this world, there is room for many kings, not just one. Let's make this world, or easier yet, let's make our communities kingdoms. Embrace the leadership of Mr. King and judge people by their character and not their color. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to take a break. Trey, let's take a break, and hopefully when we come back, I'll calm down. I seem to be racing a little bit here. And since our attorney extraordinaire will not be here due to sickness, we're going to do a replay of Penal Code 4201, protection of property, and that's always important to know. So we'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. Aaron'sGunShop.com.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's January 20th, 2018. I'm really enjoying my coffee. I'm going high rate of speed here. I made a mistake. I don't know what I was thinking. It's going to be Penal Code 9.41 is protection of one's own property. Just getting a little ahead of myself there, so I just want to make that correction. Okay, Trey, let's go ahead and play Ross, and we're going to be going over Penal Code 941, protection of one's own property. It's very good. Listen up. Take notes. Attorney Benton Ross Watson is sponsored. It's being sponsored by Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and we are just so thankful for that. And attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, I'm telling you, you're paying my medical bills, dude. That's right. Don't look at me like that. I'm carrying satchel bags.
I thought you had a case with Rick or something.
All this fan mail, man. Have him email it to you or something. All right, here we are. We're here today, and we're talking about Penal Code 941 and 942, protection of one's own property and deadly force to protect one's property. And we do this periodically from time to time because so many people, you know, you hear it, then you go, what can I do? I go, first of all, study your books. But I know you're not going to, so that's why I'm here. We're going to repeat every now and then, repeat what's going on and explain the do's and the don'ts, the cans and the cannots. And all that kind of stuff. So, Ross,
yeah,
we've
talked about how many thousands of, and really into the millions of laws that there are in a couple of episodes. And I just busted my pen again.
You're thinking about your girlfriend.
So, yeah. So the legislature has tried to, through codification of these laws, take into account for so many situations, but I can understand why people read this and don't want to read all of these provisions because, you know, there's so many instances in life that, you know, you can't put down in black and white, and they're hard to account for.
And I've learned from you guys, you and Rick, that even though it's in black and white, the part that isn't black and white, it almost doesn't mean anything. It almost doesn't mean anything because it's like the personality of the judge, what the enter into court, the attitude of a juror. I mean, don't do it, everybody. Wait till the last minute before you have to use that weapon.
And that's exactly right. That's probably the best advice that you can give.
Mark that down.
I understand that there's going to be the environments and circumstances where a person is going to, it's not going to feel the same. You know, we can sit here and say that, oh, you wait till the last moment, but, you know,
well, everybody's last moment is different.
Different, exactly. And so even that has a different meaning in what somebody thinks may be the last moment or what may be necessary, okay, is going to be different in every case. And that's so why when we talk to jurors about any kind of self-defense case, one thing we go into is you're looking at it from what the defendant's, my client's point of view. My client, what did my client think was necessary immediately in those circumstances?
Mm-hmm. And you got to convey that to have other people believe it.
And so one of my favorite things to say is, you know, the state's going to get up there and say, well, it's got to be a reasonable belief. And they always talk about a reasonable doubt. Doesn't mean beyond all doubt. Well, is anybody here paranoid?
Not me.
Is anybody here psychotic?
Well, that might be the
case. I mean, we may have some problems, but for the most part, if you have doubts and you're a reasonable person, it's a reasonable doubt.
There you go.
Okay, and so if there's any reasonable doubt, even one, then the verdict's got to be not guilty. Okay, and so it's the same concept. Is my client a psychotic just because he got into a fight or just because he was involved in this situation? Like talked about, what happened with me just about a month ago. I mean, I had nothing to do with that. I was trying to get out of there. I mean, so a lot of times good people are put into bad circumstances, and they have to figure out a way to get out of.
But the more prepared you are, hopefully through shows like this, the less problematic it will be as if you got to go to court.
Right, and so like you said, if you always have it in your mind to wait till it's absolutely necessary, right, then at least you're going to try to wait till it's absolutely necessary. And that may be different for you, but that's what you can argue.
Okay, Ross, I want to ask you, I want to set this up first. There's a lot of terms in here that people ask me all the time. And I want to hear from you if you're okay with this. Because I want to use the terms that you're going to give definitions to as standby blocks of information when it comes into the story of somebody having to defend themselves. If they've got these bits of information that are not deniable, you can't deny it. It is what it is. It means what it means. And let me give you an example of one. What is tangible, movable property?
Well, we haven't gotten into...
Listen to all this stuff that we're going to talk about and just make notes so that when you apply your storyline to it, you have definitions.
So again, we've talked about self-defense. It's self-defense of a person, of yourself, of another person, okay, of your child, wife, whatever. But today we're talking about defense of property. I'd like to start at, some people would say, well, why do we need defense of property if you can defend yourself? Well, sometimes somebody trying to take your personal property, okay, or other times you're on your land, and some people would say, well, why if you're on your land, we already know that you get the presumption to use self-defense, and it's not even, arguably they can't even arrest you. And it's not even affirmative defense so much as it is a complete protection that you're authorized to use force when you're in your house or on your land and somebody's coming into it. Well, even if you get into one of those instances, and that's not necessarily true, but even if you're there, remember, the self-defense code talks about an occupied residence, an occupied vehicle, an occupied place of employment. And so it sort of gives this implication, and we don't know for sure yet, and what I was saying is a little vague. It sounds specific, but it's not really, okay? But it gives this implication that maybe you have to be there. And so what if you come home and somebody's there and there's nobody else at your house? It was in the middle of the day. I gave this example last year when we had a show on a similar topic. So if you come home and somebody's robbing your house, technically that house wasn't occupied. Maybe the cat, okay? But I don't think that's what the code is talking about. And
see what I mean? Black and white isn't black and white.
Right. And so we get there. Now, if you go in and do something, can you really use the self-defense provision? Well, it was an occupied residence. You sure don't get the presumption. And so your lawyer is going to want to also tack onto that defense of property. Okay. And so we go, and this is where we are. And the code talks about, in the first instance, in Texas Penal Code Section 9.41, it talks about a person who is in lawful possession of land or tangible personal property. Okay, tangible, I think, comes from tangere. I think some folks would tell you about...
Is that Greek?
Latin? It's Latin. It's Latin, yeah, yeah. Noli me tangere, touch me not, don't touch me. Okay, so comes from tangent, meaning touching the point, a tangent vertical point that's touching, abutting to something. So it's tangible personal property, something that's palpable, something that we have, we can move, and that's why they added that qualifier on their movable property. Now, yes, we can sit here and we could take all the time trying to come up with what property could be tangible and not tangible. Stock typically is not technically a tangible property, but you could classify that down into a certificate
of
stock.
Does this relate to like real estate, where if it's not attached, like you got plants, you can't cut the plants down and take them because then you're taking the...
And you could argue it's a fixture, right? You could argue, is it a fixture to real property? But if somebody's... If the burglar has gone in and removed your sink, which was probably a fixture, at this point, is it still classified as land? I don't know, but either way, I don't think it's going to matter, okay? You're going to be entitled probably to the same defense unless he actually gets off and out of that house, okay? And so this is going to say that the subsection A is talking about being in lawful possession, and so I take this to mean we're at home, and we have somebody come in and trespass into the house, and because it speaks to, we're going to prevent or terminate, we're going to stop an action, right, that's maybe just beginning or just in progress, okay, and we're going to stop it before it's consummated, before it's in completion, before that thing is complete, okay, and so we're going to terminate or get to the we're gonna get out in front of this thing before it actually happens or gets to a point that it has, you know, you would say this act is finalized, mm-hmm. okay? And so we're going to, maybe if we walk home even, maybe we haven't technically been in lawful possession, but we haven't actually lost any of our personal property yet that's in that house. So maybe we go in the house to use force to prevent him from dispossessing us of our property. When I say him, I mean the burglar, the thief, or the person we think is the burglar.
Can't somebody say you're escalating?
Well, and so
because
this...
Because you weren't in the house. You weren't occupying, but you went in to occupy.
It's my house. I think I have a right to go inspect what's going on my property.
Granted, but like I said, black and white ain't black and white. So I'm just saying...
I think I definitely have a right to go in and inspect my property and see what the heck is going on when my door's wide open. It looks...
Do you even really need a reason to go into your own home?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Do I even need a reason just to go into my own house? If the law is trying to tell me that I do... Then I mean I do think the law is unreasonable, and that's why I do what I do. But I think that we've gotten to a point where we have no reliability whatsoever in the justice system if they're telling me I can't go onto my own property.
Okay.
So I think absolutely my answer is that yes, you can go on your property. I can see there'd be some kind of liberal and even some crazy conservative, a super crazy conservative would say, oh, you should have just automatically called the cops when you saw your door broke down. Man, that's great, but that's just not how life works. Okay, and I have absolute right, I think, to go on my property. And in my property, especially my house. Okay, and so when I go into my house, right, that's what this code tells me. I have a right to terminate or prevent the other's trespass on the land or unlawful interference with property. I can go in, okay, and inspect, and that's not using force at all whatsoever. There's no way the law could tell me that I didn't have a right to go in my house. Okay, and so once I go in my house, right, if I see him trying to take property, at that point I can use force to subdue the trespasser or the... That's what the shopkeeper's privilege is about. There's a Rick Dodd would be a great one to ask about this. This is kind of a civil case. He's done some civil assaults, okay? Well, this is what the shopkeeper's privilege. When you go in and you're trying to shoplift, that security guard or even an employee there has got a right to use reasonable force to detain you and prevent you from leaving the store and prevent you from taking that property.
Okay.
And so they've got an actual right to subdue you and like I do, and I can use that force, okay, to prevent that interference. But what happens when the guy gets out of the house and he's running away with this property? Now the code has this second section, the subsection B, talking about unlawful dispossession, and I have a right to re-enter the land or recover the property if the actor uses the force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Me, if I use this force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Now, what is fresh pursuit? Fresh pursuit goes back to these old English common law days from the England courts, and what is equity and authority from the king versus from the courts of the church and then later the courts of law. Okay, and so... it goes to an officer going outside of his jurisdiction. Also, we talk about when we have a police officer that maybe didn't have jurisdiction to go into Arkansas. They can use fresh pursuit if they've been chasing that defendant from Texas. They can go into Arkansas because their jurisdiction is kept alive by reason of the chase. Okay, and so that's the same as true with your house. On the Fourth Amendment, a police officer can't go into your house. But if he's given chase immediately from the scene, he's seen you commit this, okay, then he's got a right without a warrant to enter your house because he still has the authority by reason of the chase. His authority is kept alive, and it's also under the exigent circumstances, emergency circumstances provision. At that point, it becomes, right, an emergency situation where the officer's got a right to chase. The same is true for you in these types of instances. I have a right to give chase to protect my property, but if there is, it's got to be continuous. If there's some kind of unreasonable...
Does continuous mean any type of distance?
That's going to be a fact question. I know you want an answer, but I can't give you one. There's going to be a fact question. I think...
My answer. My answer is I don't know. So my safety net line would be property line, first city block.
I don't think it's necessary that maybe you lose sight of the person. I think, you know, if he ducks around the corner, I think if you keep chasing, Right, and maybe you lose him for... We all watch those cool cop shows when they're facing folks. I mean, it's almost every cop show.
They got a badge on, though.
But it's the same. It's the same kind of situation to go get your property. It is the fresh pursuit, right, is interpreted, maybe not constitutionally interpreted exactly the same, right, but for the purposes, that's going to be the same type of definitions that we're going to get in. So if they've got a right to chase, we've got a right to chase. But remember, if you don't have a license to carry, okay, and you're carrying a handgun out here, we've talked about those cases that I don't agree with, by the way, and I don't know how they'll play out under some of the new rules, but I said be very careful because that doesn't necessarily entitle you to take a handgun out in the public if you don't have a license to carry. And so that's another reason why you should have a license to carry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an excellent segment here. If you have any questions, 254-697-6633. You're crazy if you don't call. You've got an attorney here who knows his stuff. 254-697-6633. Go ahead.
But so I'm going to get to the point. The other section is not as difficult because this one applies to the other section as well. But not only do those things have to be true, yeah, not only does it have to be fresh pursuit, then you've got if, right, and. So, and the actor, meaning you reasonably believe the other had no claim of right. Well, obviously, if it's your property, they're not going to have a claim that they had a right to take it. Okay, obviously, if it's a burglar, you're going to, or it's a guy with a hoodie on that you can't see, and, you know, unless you're in some kind of divorce case, it's getting nasty, all right, and you're hiring me or, you know, Michelle Lemkiel or somebody like that. I think Rick was smart. He got out of the family law business a while ago. But I think you can get into one of those maybe where there might be some gray area. Maybe you're feuding with family. But if that's going on, maybe you should call in before you give chase. But otherwise, anybody's going to know that the other person's not going to have a claim of right. There could become instances in business type of situations, though, where maybe somebody thought they had a lien, okay, on a piece of property. Maybe, when a tow truck driver pulls up to take this property, you know exactly what's going on. There was actually a good case where a guy thought his girlfriend's car was being stolen, and it was a repo guy that came up to get it, and he used deadly force against the repo man, and sure enough, he got charged for that, and he was able to assert a jury charge, and the trial court denied it to him because it said your girlfriend didn't have a right to use it, but he said, well, I reasonably believed there was no claim of right. Went up on appeal. They said he had a right to make the claim to the jury. I think that there's more complex than what I've given today. But
that's why repo guys make a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, you know, that's part of the job.
Part of the risk.
And then the other accomplishes it through force, threat, or fraud, meaning the thief or the burglar uses some kind of force, threat, or fraud to accomplish the dispossession. And I don't think I need to go into that. You're going to know what the force or the fraud or the threat is to use it. It's such, maybe he has a hammer. He says, if you don't let me get out of this house, I'm going to kill you. Okay, well then you let him go. Okay, then you got a right to give chase maybe with your own hammer. All right. And so at that point, that's getting into the deadly force area. And this is where we're going with this. So we get into section 9.42. And it says, you've got to be justified under those provisions that we just talked about. Okay, you got to be justified under 941. And when you reasonably believe that deadly force is immediately necessary. And I want these words mean things. Okay, and so listen to these words. To prevent the imminent commission, meaning imminent, it is on the verge of happening right now. The commission, the completion of the whatever act is about to happen. So to prevent, meaning it has not happened yet, but it's imminent. It's about to happen. It's on the verge of happening. Arson, burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, criminal mischief during the nighttime. So, burglary is entering a habitation unlawfully, right, with the intent to commit a series of items which can be of violence, okay, or theft. Okay, so entering a habitation to commit a theft would be burglary. That's burglary.
And just for clarification, if you weren't intending to burglarize, but you went in there, that's just trespassing. Would that be the separation between the two?
Exactly.
Okay.
And actually, let me get through this first, make sure I get through it. But there's a good case on this, and I want to talk about it before I get out of here. But you reasonably believe these things. So it doesn't actually have to be actual robbery, okay, or burglary. But it's got to be a reasonable belief okay, that you are preventing the commission of it.
I got you.
Okay, and so prevent. So if it has already been done, if it has already been accomplished, then a good argument from the other side is going to be, and I say the other side, I mean the prosecutor, is going to be that that provision does not apply because it has already been done.
Wow.
Okay? And so we go to the next subsection, which is to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing one of those things. So this time, it has already been done. The act has been completed. This person has committed burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime. By the way, it leaves out criminal mischief on this second provision. Okay? So fleeing immediately after committing burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, or theft during the nighttime. If you remember, the previous subsection said criminal mischief during the nighttime. So if you're coming in and a guy just started the first letter of his graffiti, okay, or something to that effect and is destroying property, you probably have a right to stop him. Yes, he has completed some of the destruction, right? But it is obvious that he is continuing to do it. So he has not completed his full act of the destruction, which could make a difference whether it's a felony, a misdemeanor, class A, B, C misdemeanor, okay? Because, you know, $250 worth of damage is a whole lot different than $5,000,
right?
Okay? And so you can prevent this, right, further destruction of your property. But if it's done, and so criminal mischief, the property's done, it ain't being taken, it's just being destroyed. Okay? So if the person is taking the property now, he's completed the act of burglary, boom, he's bolted out the door. You see him bolting out the door. There he goes with your property. Is he escaping with the property and you reasonably believe that that has happened and you reasonably believe, right, that he's committed one of those things and he's escaping with your property and you reasonably believe that the land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means, or you believe one of these two things, the use of force other than deadly force to protect or recover the land or property would expose you or another to a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury. In other words, you can't get this property back, or you're going to get somebody hurt if you go try to get it back. Okay? And so you asked me a good question a year ago, what about insurance? I still don't know. I don't know. There's no way for me to interpret it. We haven't had a case in the last year.
Well, you know the question I asked, and I know the question you asked, but let's reiterate it.
So can land or property be protected or recovered by any other means? My argument is insurance doesn't protect that piece of property if I can never get that piece of property back. Insurance does not recover that piece of property. That piece that was stolen will never be recovered. Your argument is, yeah, but it does protect the value of that property.
And I said, that wasn't my argument. I'm just using it as a...
I'm giving you a hard time, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I think they're both good arguments, okay? And I don't know what's going to happen, and this is why you have a lawyer, but this is why we also have, I just hit my tooth on the microphone, right, the use of force other than deadly force to protect it would cause substantial death or bodily injury, serious bodily injury to another person. If it's covered by insurance and that argument works, you're never going to get to number two because nobody ever has to go recover that piece of property.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must sign electronically an affidavit now that states that you understand these laws. You've been told these laws, you've learned these laws, you understand these laws. Now look at how complex they can be under a situation, especially if you're stressed out. You better pay attention.
And I argue,
give us a call. You better read your laws and get them learned.
And I argue that the insurance argument, though, is a slippery slope because, I mean, there are some things that cannot be recovered. It ain't the value that I want to protect so much in my family heirloom.
Yeah, but heirloom. The way you term it, though, Ross, makes it clear. I cannot replace that item, serial number, such and such and such and such. I could get another, but it's not that one. So when you say it like that, it makes it so clear, but it gets muddled in the fight in the courtroom.
Right, and so how are you going to... I mean, there are some things that cannot be replaced, but that's what I was trying to tell you. If it is just... I mean, if it is something that can be replaced, if it's a PlayStation they're leaving with, if it's a TV or something, don't try to make new law. Just let it go. If you've got insurance, let it go.
I agree.
Right, and fight another day. But if it is something that is so important or it's a... you know, it's a priceless item, Okay, then, and then that may give you a right to argue too, even if insurance could apply, right? It don't apply in that situation because I can never get that priceless item back.
Right.
I can never even go buy that item again. And then the state never even has a chance to make this argument, right? Or if they do, it's completely unreasonable. And so this is what I'm saying. I mean, try to not push these limits. And if you do, I'll try to protect you. Okay, but you know, you're probably going to need help protection.
You said something, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but just what's priceless to one person
exactly
is not to another. So let's say, for example, you've got this picture. It's just a basic picture. You could replicate it very easily, but your daughter or your son wrote on it, "Daddy, I love you," in his or her third grade crayons, and you can never get it back, and it's an emotionally attached item to you, and somebody's taking it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. No value. They're probably not even worth anything. Probably has no economic value. Okay, but it has value to you.
That's right.
Right? And so that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
We have 1 minute. Well, be careful because there's a case called Adami, and there were some illegal aliens in the house, and the man walked up and as he was hunting.
You're talking non-documented workers, right?
Yeah. A non-documented foreign...
Illegal aliens, man.
Yeah. And so he comes and sees them in his house, and sure enough, he fires off on them, and he gets charged with murder. So you have to be very careful about exactly if it was necessary to protect your property, if it was necessary to take the action. And nothing is going to protect a purpose to inflict pain or harm or malice, use malice against somebody, if the main purpose is not actually to protect that property. So even if you did use malice, you better make sure that you're able to put on a good case that you were actually just protecting your property.
Ross, you're fantastic. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
254-605-4140 is my number, 254-605-4140. I'm here in Cameron. My main primary office is 105 East Main Street, again here in Cameron. You can just ask people around town, too, if you need to holler at me. Benton@Watson.legal. Benton@Watson.legal. Thank you guys for having me.
Stop sending all these paper letters of fan mail. Send an email directly to Ross. Ross, can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's January, help me, Trey, 20th, right? 2018. All right, January 20th, 2018. We're here live now. We just listened to a recorded session with attorney Benton Ross Watson, and that was a really good segment. I'm always listening. I want to make sure I don't forget this kind of stuff because it's very important if you're carrying a weapon and something happens, you want to know how to handle yourself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the topic of interest, we've got a lot of things going on. Last night was ladies' night, and more women are coming out to the range. It's a lot of fun. But ladies' night is every third Friday of the month. The ladies get to shoot for free. And like I always say, I'm kidding around. Guys, bring your ladies. They shoot for free. Ladies, you bring your ladies. They're shooting for free. In this world, day and age, with gender swapping and all this kind of stuff, if you're a woman and you're coming to the range on the third Friday of the night, range time is free. Okay, so come on out. Enjoy. Have a good time. Had a lot of people last night. And everybody was having a good time. Everybody's sharing each other's guns, shooting, trying different ones. That's another nice thing about going to the range like that. You know, if you're thinking about buying a gun and you're not sure what it's like, odds are there's probably going to be one of those guns at the range. And the people that are coming to the range at Aaron's Gun Shop, it's a different environment there. It's totally different. It's not clinical. It's not dress right dress. It's not, hey, you're a number and you're there for 30 minutes to 60 minutes. It's 1 hour and 1 second later, you owe me another $30 for another hour range time. You come out to the range, it's $10 for the night. We have a good time. Sometimes we got food there, sometimes we don't. But, you know, it's a good time, a lot of good information, and a lot of fun. Now, on the 27th of this month, just so you know, I got a special group I'm doing a private class for, a license to carry class, and you could do that as well. If you got a group of five or more and you want to keep it family or friends and you want just a private group and no other people in there, we can do that as long as we coordinate it. So give me a call, give me an email, call at the shop or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and we can figure out something and a date to work for you. February 2nd, the first Friday of the month, bring a guest and the guest is free. So it's like a twofer. That's the first Fridays of the month. February 9th, is the next round robin. That's coming up quicker than you think. So come on out there. It's a fantastic way, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot emphasize it enough. Look, if you're carrying a gun for protection and you're listening to this show and you're not doing any type of training, you're foolish. You really are. You're foolish. You're going out there carrying a gun and you haven't trained. You got your piece of paper. You did your little classroom. The classroom's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, it's a joke. From what it used to be to what it is now, it's a joke. So you need extra training if you haven't trained before. And the round robin is a phenomenal way to get training in a fun environment for a cheap price. And you can learn from watching everybody else. It's just a great way to do it. So February 9th is the next round robin. Now, February 10th is the next license to carry class. I still have room available. It should be posted on the website at aaronsgunshop.com. You go to the license to carry page. You can click on it there. You can call me, email me, whatever, and we'll get you squared away for February 10th. The price for that course is $60. If you do have a license already and you just want a refresher course, it's $40 because I don't have to do any paperwork on you. It's a little bit cheaper. And you can go to that class as well. February 16th is Ladies' Night again, so make sure you plan for that. Now, February 17th, I want to talk about this. I've got a special couples seminar. Because Valentine's Day was just before that, I had to take a choice. Do I do it before or do I do it after? So I decided to do it after. The special for learning how to use a handgun for self-defense, it's going to be a couples seminar. Normally, for two people to take a seminar like that, it's $330. The special is going to be $250. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, gets over at 6 in the evening, includes a barbecue lunch. You learn basically the whole gamut of what it takes. It goes from A to Z, and it's a rainbow effect. We're going to learn mindset and philosophy, how to use the weapon, malfunctions, shooting on the move, multiple targets, going to the shoot house, turning corners, hallways, danger zones, the whole works, okay? It's a fantastic thing to do, and it's even better with a couple because if you're all living together or you're just dating or whatever, it's good to know that you've got backup. The person that you're with can back you up. You're thinking alike. You know how to handle your weapons, so on and so forth. A lot of people decide to get the same guns in case one person's down and you got to pick up the gun. You're familiar with how to use that particular gun. So February 17th, it's the couple special. It's $250 as compared to the $350 for the both of you. And it's limited to five couples. That's a total of 10 people. So if you're interested, you need to do it fast because it's going to fill up fast. Now, March 9th is our law enforcement benefit shoot-off. It's the same thing as the round robin, except we're doing it in team forms. A team of five with a $100 entry fee can shoot for a law enforcement department of your choice or a military department of choice. And it's the same thing as the round robin, except you're doing it as a team level. The winning team gets to choose who the prizes go to, which department goes to. So you need to check that out. So get your teams together now. So we got a lot of things going on. Be sure to check the website at aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page. We're constantly posting stuff there. All right. Now, with that, we're going to go right into, Trey, we all set with Delicious Janae? We're going to have tactical snacking with the Delicious Janae Goodman, and we're going to be talking stews and soups. Take it away.
Hello, my lovelies. It is chilly outside, but don't go running out with your bowl and your spoon just yet. I've got some soup and stews to help you get bundled up and warm for the week. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. So why should you bother with soups and stews in the first place? Well, they make for a delicious side dish or main attraction for any lunch or dinner. Not to mention they're relatively easy to make and quite versatile in the ingredients that you can use to make them. I keep improvised soup on my back burner for those nights where I'm craving something warm. Some of you may also know this as dump soup. It's a great way to utilize any vegetables or meat proteins that need to be used soon. Typically for this dish, I toss in fresh carrots, diced onion, red potatoes, canned corn kernels, and a can of tomato sauce to add a layer of flavor to my broth. You can use whatever liquid broth suits your taste buds. Typically, when making a soup or stew, it's pretty simple. Once all of your ingredients are slightly sautéed in your pot, add in a broth, and bring your soup or stew to a simmer. This is the secret to creating a top-notch dish. A simmer means that your dish is just below boiling when being heated, or when you see relatively low amounts of bubbles on the surface of your pot. Many people make the mistake of boiling the liquid, which leads to broken-down vegetables and tough proteins. Simmering allows for the flavors to meld together, leaving you with a rich, bold flavor that really shines through. Make sure your dish also gets an occasional stir. This will discourage your vegetables and proteins from getting stuck on the bottom of your pot and burning. If you lack a liquid broth, you can always just use a bouillon cube. They come in a variety of different flavors, and they're pretty handy to have on hand because they don't take very much room up in your pantry. Now that I've shared all that technical stuff with you, let's get into what you're really here for, the recipes, duh. We'll start it off simple with chicken noodle soup. If you're working with raw chicken, season it up with salt and pepper and sauté your chunks of meat over medium to medium-high heat until cooked thoroughly. You'll want to do this in the same pot that you plan on making your soup in to increase the overall flavor. Just be sure not to scorch your chicken so you don't end up with a burned fond. You know, that stuff on the bottom that we tend to scrape off of the dirty dishes? That's actually flavor. Introduce your chopped carrots, celery, and diced onions, and sauté them over medium heat until your onions are translucent. You may notice that the vegetables start to loosen up some of that fond for you. At this point, you can introduce your vegetable or chicken broth into the pot. If you opted to use cooked chicken, now is the time to add it in. Go ahead, add in that salt and pepper and parsley to taste. Be sure to reduce to medium heat and simmer it through for about 45 minutes to an hour. Serve it up with a crusty French bread for a hearty meal. You can turn the soup into chicken and dumplings by simply adding in biscuit dough 15 minutes after you've added your broth. This dough can be pre-made from a can, or you can mix together a cup of all-purpose flour, half a cup of milk, and a teaspoon of salt to taste. So what's the difference between a soup and a stew anyway? Generally speaking, stews are thicker, cooked at a lower temperature, and require a longer cooking time than most soups. They tend to contain less liquid than soups as well. A stew can be thickened by using a starch, such as flour, arrowroot, cornstarch, or mace. They can also be cooked down or reduced. Keep in mind that this reduction of a stew will result in a more concentrated flavor, which can make or break your dish. I advise that you taste your dish as it simmers and adjust seasoning and liquid as needed. People typically don't think of chili as a stew, but it is one. This stew usually features ground meat, beans, and tomatoes, as well as chili powder,
hey,
as its main components.
Good morning.
If you work all day, you can easily set up a crock pot chili in the morning to have it ready when you walk through the door. I like a good balance of ground turkey and venison. Season it up with cumin, oregano, salt, and pepper, and add in a can of stewed chopped tomatoes, as well as a can of kidney or pinto beans. You can also add in minced garlic and yellow onion, and chili powder, of course. When you get home, take a bit of starch and make a loose paste by adding water to it. This will act as your thickener for your chili. Give your stew about 15 minutes to thicken and serve it up with a slice of cornbread, rice, or tortilla chips.
Hey, Chief, what's your topic today?
IRS identity theft.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721. Or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
And you're good to go.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody's having a great Saturday morning, and here it is. We're soon to be halfway through January. Can you already believe that? And I want to thank everyone that's called and sent emails about hoping I get better with my recent little injury. The good part is I get to start driving next week a little bit, so I'll be a one-foot driver with a cast on the other foot, so you might want to stay off the road. But in all seriousness, I hope everybody's doing fine and it's a foggy morning this morning. What we're going to do today, we're going to talk about something that's in everybody's minds right now, because I just know you love to hear about this, but we're going to talk about the IRS, Internal Revenue Service. And we're not going to talk about it in a negative way, because whether we like it or not, everybody's got to pay taxes. As I say, there's only two things sure in life, and that's taxes and death. So what I thought we'd do today is we'd talk about some of the phone calls. I know a number of you have been getting from people that say they're from the IRS. You know, one of the things I want to say right up front is the Internal Revenue Service will never call you on the telephone. You know, we have been experiencing all across Texas and the U.S. over the last couple of years, usually a foreign-born sounding individual who got calls. It says that they're going to come take your house. They're going to have you arrested. The IRS does not do that. The only way the IRS is going to contact you is by the United States Postal Service. So anytime you get a phone call, anybody gets a phone call that says they're from the IRS, you know, hang up on them, folks. You can report it to your local law enforcement agency if you want to. I'm not sure they'll do any good since most of those calls come from either out of country or from a state away from ours. But hang up on them. Don't give them any information. Don't talk to them. But, you know, for 2018, the IRS and many of the states in the tax industry have joined together to enact a new safeguard to take additional actions to combat tax-related identity theft. ID theft during tax season is a big, big deal, folks. Many of these safeguards will be invisible to you, and, you know, and it's invaluable to the fight against criminal syndicates that are really behind a lot of this, and a lot of them foreign criminal syndicates. I guess we can blame the Russians for that. If you prepare your own taxes with some type of tax software firm, a form or a software, you'll see new login standards. It's not like it used to be. Some states are also taking additional steps. So, you know, you need to look and see what you're doing. Here in Texas, we're fortunate enough that we don't pay a state income tax, but we're one of the fewest that don't anymore. So, you know, when you file your income tax, if you do it yourself, just make sure you follow a lot of rules. We also know that identity theft is a very frustrating process for victims. If you become a victim, you know, you need to be committed to resolve your case as quickly as possible. And a lot of people say, well, what is tax-related ID theft? Well, folks, it's something that you never want to experience. Tax-related ID theft occurs when someone uses your stolen Social Security number to file a tax return claiming a fraudulent refund. You know, you may be due a refund. If somebody beats you to the punch, you'll eventually be able to get it back, but it's going to take a long time. And a lot of people, they survive with their tax refunds every year. You may be unaware that this has even happened to you until you e-file your return and discover that a return already has been filed using your name, Social Security number, or whatever. The IRS may send you a letter saying that identified your return is already being filed. Once again, folks, and I'll tell you this over and over again, the IRS is not going to call you and tell you this. They're going to send you a letter, a hard copy letter, and it'll tell you what needs to be done, how it needs to be handled. But we can help minimize that. And one of the things you do is you've got to know the warning signs. Be alert to positive tax-related identity theft or possible tax-related identity theft if you're contacted by the IRS or your tax professional provider. A lot of times they'll help you out. More than one tax return was filed using your Social Security number. And you know that's not going to happen. A lot of times that happens. And one of the most common ways that you're going to get contacted, and hopefully none of you listening to this radio show today will have this problem, but a lot of times ex-husbands or ex-wives or disposed wives will file some of their dependents when they don't have the right to file the dependent. Even if they don't have the right to file it, what's going to happen is it's going to lock yours up. It's going to keep you from receiving your return as quickly as you should receive it. You know, if you owe additional taxes, the refund may offset or have bad collection debts filed against you. That's one of the problems that you run into with identity theft. The IRS records, in records, any wages that you get, folks. And I tell you, you know, we can always talk about working under the table. We can talk about, you know, being paid in cash. Two people you don't ever want to mess with. You never want to mess with a mad housewife. But you definitely never want to mess with the IRS. You got to be honest with them. They have too much power. And honestly, it's one of the only agencies that I know of where you're proven innocent until guilty. It's just the opposite with IRS. You're proven guilty until you can prove your innocence and show them that you didn't try to cheat on your taxes. But if you suspect you're a victim of identity theft, continue to pay your taxes and file your tax return, even if you must do it by paper. And nobody hardly anymore does paper returns and goes to the post office and picks up returns. It's now usually online or through someone that knows what they're doing. But if you have to, go ahead and file it. At least you've covered your bases. Now, here are some steps to take if you're ever a victim of identity theft. You know, the first thing you're going to do is you need to go online and you need to look at the steps that are taken. The Federal Trade Commission has an excellent, excellent website that shows you what to do. The first thing you do is you file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission through the FTC.gov site. Contact your three major credit card companies. Credit bureau companies, not credit card companies. You need to contact Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. All these numbers can be found online. If you can't find them, you can send me an email at randydixon76502@gmail.com, and I can provide you with the 800 toll-free phone numbers for all these companies and these agencies that will help you with that. You can put a credit watch. You can put a credit lock. You can put where anyone who wants to try to use your Social Security number before it can be done, you have to give permission. So it kind of protects you in a lot of ways. You know, and there's a lot of paid administrative companies that you see on TV. Many of these are good. LifeLock is one, several different ones. But all this is important if you think you're going to be the victim or if you have the potential or have been the victim in the past. But I'll tell you this, and here's some things you need to do. If your Social Security number is compromised and you know or suspect that you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, the IRS, our good old friends from the IRS, recommend these steps be taken. Number one, respond always to any IRS notice. And if you need to, call the number. They won't call you, but you can call them. They may be on hold for about 2 hours, but you need to get it rectified. Don't put it off. They'll ask you to file an ID theft affidavit, and I believe that's going to be IRS form 14039. Be aware that if you feel you're a victim of identity theft, you need to file that form, and it's called an identity theft affidavit. You know, and especially if you send in. If you previously contacted the IRS and didn't have a resolution, contact them again. There's some specific numbers that you can contact if you feel like you have not had your problem issued or arranged for. If you need that number, once again, all you got to do is email me, and I'll send you the information that's on that number. Now, let's say that there's some data breaches, and we've heard about that in the news here recently. You know, even Jason's Deli, the place where we go get our sandwiches and salads, they had a data breach all through Texas and across the southern U.S. So anyone could have your information, but not all data breaches or computer hacks result in tax-related identity theft. It's important to know that what type of personal information was stolen, and you need to keep very, very close ties on your personal information. Don't let anybody take advantage of you if you can prevent it, because they sure will, folks. You know, if they can get your Social Security number out of your mail, you know, how many of you have received in the mail these forms that tell you you have a credit card pre-approved for you, or you have a car pre-approved for you, the loan for that car? If you get those in the mail, and if you're not interested in them, folks, you need to take those forms, you need to shred them or tear them up into little pieces. Don't just throw them in the mailbox. What if I'm walking along, or I'm a bad guy, and I come along and I see that in your mail or out by the curb? Because once again, folks, any trash you have that's out by the road, that is not illegal for people to go through. And once you've disposed of it, Supreme Court ruled it's not illegal to go through your trash. So if you put something in the trash and it's pulled out, not necessarily shame on us, but you need to take precautions. Shred it. Now, if you've been a victim of a data breach, keep in touch with the company to learn what is going on to protect you and what steps to follow as a victim of that identity theft with that company. Data breach victims should submit, once again, Form 14039 ID theft affidavit with your Social Security number on it to the IRS and to the Federal Trade Commission. Now, how do we reduce our risk? What do we do? How are some things we can help that? You know, I hate to say this, but we need to join efforts with IRS and tax industry to protect our data. Always use some kind of software, if you're going to do it at home, that has a firewall on it. Use something that has a protection for you. Learn how to recognize and avoid phishing emails. And by phishing, it's not F-I-S-H-I-N-G. That's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, which basically means that through advertisements, through things that you think are normal, your personal information and data is being released. You know, if you get threatening phone calls and texts from thieves or somebody who's trying to pose as a legitimate organization, such as your bank, credit card companies, and like I said, even the IRS, you need to legitimize that. You need to take time to figure that out. You know, if you don't trust them, tell them you'll call them back, get their number, and you call them. 9 times out of 10, if they're illegal, they're not going to give you a phone number to call them back. And if they do, you need to check that phone number out. You know, don't click or on links or download attachments from unknown and suspicious emails. Besides the fact that it could be something that could get you jammed up in other ways, it's a good way for them to get your information. Protect your personal data like it was your best friend or your loved one. Don't routinely carry your Social Security card, and make sure your tax records are secure. You know, a lot of people carry their Social Security card around in their purse or their wallet. That's not necessarily the best place to do that, folks. You know, and once again, I'm going to repeat this, and I'm going to repeat this over and over again. The IRS does not initiate contact with taxpayers by email, to request any personal or financial information. They will not do it. Please, folks, if somebody calls you from the IRS, hang up on them. They're just not going to do it. Also, if you get something like that or if you get something suspicious, it's really important that you contact someone from the IRS and let them know, or your local law enforcement. It needs to be recorded. You know, there may not be a lot that your local law enforcement can do to help you, especially on some of these IRS calls that we get, but they do need to be aware, and they do need to have it on record that you have been a victim of such things such as this. You know, in this time of year, here we are, we're in the middle of January. A lot of the, in your mail, you're getting a lot of W-2 forms, a lot of 1099 forms. Get your mail quickly. Take your mail out, because on most of those forms, you have a taxpayer ID number, and those are important to protect as well. So, folks, you see that it's a scary time of the year. It's a time of the year when people try to take advantage of everyone else. It's really important that you do the best you can to protect yourself. And what I'm going to do every week, I think, from now on, is I'm going to kind of sign off and pass on to the new week some kind of a little saying. And I want to leave one today that is that comes to us from Robert Kennedy. Tragedy is a tool for the living to gain wisdom, not a guide by which to live. So remember that. Tragedy is a tool for the living to gain wisdom, not a guide by which to live. So, folks, have a wonderful week. I'll see you on the radio next Saturday. Stay safe, be careful, and enjoy this nice, cool weather, because it won't be long. It'll be 110 degrees outside. Take care, everyone.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Today is January 20th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 40 minutes. I want to just say thanks again to the Voice of Law Enforcement. Hope that foot gets better. And don't worry, Chief, I will stay off the road while you are driving. Okay, just kidding. Anyway, today's product spotlight is brought to you by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, and we're talking about the Sig Sauer P320, 9mm. They have a gun show 6 days a week at ANC Firearms. You have a gun show going to the Expo Center, you know, every now and then, but ANC Firearms has a gun show 6 days a week. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, ammo, knives, accessories, reloading supplies, and a great, warm, and welcoming atmosphere. So call them now, 254-983-4417, and go to aaronsgunshop.com's Facebook page and look at the picture. I'm holding the 320 there. It's got the price tag and all the information. And what I'm going to do now is, like I usually do, is read a review from somebody else and compare notes. And this one's from shootingillustrated.com. It's going to be reviewing the Sig Sauer P320 pistol. It's by Keith Wood. Now, the thing I found, you know, Sig Sauers are fantastic firearms. They are made exceptionally well. The majority of them, though, have been basically of the same design, same mechanics. This one is totally different. So let's read this article. Let's get to learn about it and see what it has to say. This is from Keith Wood, shootingillustrated.com. Shooters in the U.S. became familiar with the Sig Sauer P220 series of handguns when the original design hit our shores in the late 1970s. During the intervening years, we were introduced to the P225, 226, 228, and the 229 as the flagship handgun of the Sig line, expanded and contracted into various designs and chamberings. Candidly, though, other than varying dimensions, different cartridges, optional finishes, and features like double action only and double action Kellerman triggers, not much has changed from the original P220 design. The vast majority of SIGs have been steel or aluminum framed handguns with exposed hammers and nothing but grip panels available when it came to suiting guns to individual shooters. With the introduction of the company's latest edition, the P320, all of that goes out the window. Made in the company's New Hampshire facility, this modular striker-fired pistol is a stark departure from more than 30 years of handgun tradition. There are a lot of truly different features on the P320. The most outwardly unique aspect of this pistol is the grip frame, which we've come to accept as the handgun's core. On the P320, it's merely a hollow shell of molded polymer. All of the internal working parts, what Sig Sauer calls the fire control assembly, are housed in a single, serialized stainless steel unit that detaches from the frame in seconds. This allows the user to change the entire grip frame to suit his or her individual body size or unique mission requirements. There's one other advantage to being able to swap grip frames easily. It has become popular among owners of polymer frame handguns to use grinding wheels, sandpaper, and wood-burning kits to customize the grip for perfect fits. With most frames, you get one shot at this. If you mess up, you've just ruined your handgun. With the P320, you can always order another frame at a reasonable price and start anew. So, how does the P320 different from the P250? While the P250 shares the 320's modularity, it is a traditional double-action-only system with a spurless hammer and long trigger pull. The P320, on the other hand, is a striker-fired handgun, and unlike all the other handguns in the P220 series, which use either traditional double-action or double-action-only triggers, the P320 has a short and consistent trigger pull with a short positive reset, which is very important, by the way. My biggest gripe with the SIG pistols has always been their triggers. Not only is the double-action, single-action trigger difficult to master, it's not really, you just got to practice, shooters accustomed to other designs can actually miss the reset by short-stoking the trigger, and I've talked about that a lot. That's definitely a possibility. A really bad thing in a gunfight is to short-stroke your trigger. The P320's trigger has a tiny bit of take-up before hitting a wall and breaking at 7 pounds. I measured the trigger's reset at just shorter than 0.1 inch, which is pretty dang short. I can't see myself missing this one. Shooters who have fought through the long double-action trigger pulls of SIGs in the past will appreciate the trigger on the P320. The P320's controls are simple, minimal, and ambidextrous. Since there is no hammer, the familiar decocking lever is absent from its frame as well. The only controls on the handgun are reversible frame-mounted magazine release, a fully ambidextrous slide-stop lever, and a reversible takedown lever. Having recently suffered through scores of weak-handed reloads, I can now fully appreciate a slide stop on both sides of the frame. Now, I got a comment about that, but maybe I'll say it if I got time. The top of the P320 uses a nitron-coated carbon steel slide and a 4.7-inch hammer-forged steel barrel. Operation of the pistol is traditional Browning tilting barrel configuration, which mirrors other full-size Sig Sauer pistols. Initially, the P320 is being offered in 9mm and 40 Smith & Wesson, and models in both chamberings are dimensionally identical other than the size of the bore and magazine capacity. My production sample used the medium grip frame, which is probably about right for the majority of users and fit my average size hands pretty well. The P320 is a fairly large handgun with an overall length of 8 inches and a weight of 29 ounces with an empty mag seated. Individuals looking for a versatile handgun that combines multiple configurations and chamberings with a single serial number would be hard-pressed to find a more adaptive semi-automatic platform. This SIG breaks away from the company's long tradition in favor of the simplicity enthusiastically adopted by both police agencies and the general shooting public. The P320's striker-fired operation and short trigger reset put in contention with any of its peers in the marketplace. I'd say Sig Sauer hit the mark with the P320s. Now, ladies and gentlemen, people have asked me, why do you read so long an article on a particular handgun? Not everybody's into it. Well, yeah, exactly. Not everybody's into it. But I'll tell you what, for those who are into it, they're digging the information. And one day, one week down the road, it's going to be the gun that you're looking at, and I'm going to be reading detailed information, and you're going to be very appreciative of it. So, not only that, it's good to just get a familiarization with all the different types of guns out there and what's the highlights and the low points of each different gun so you can take notes, figure out exactly what it is that fits your needs, fits your budget, and you can pick it with intelligence as compared to somebody saying, oh, you're a woman, you need a revolver. You're a guy, you need an auto. Okay, do you want a double action trigger? Do you want a single action trigger? Do you want a double action only? So on and so forth. There's so many different aspects to look at. And here's the other thing, too. ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer is a big supporter of the show, okay? I do all of his people when it comes to license to carry. And in those license to carry classes, we've got a section in there that goes over handling the firearm and how it works and malfunctions, very important aspect of it. So if you're looking to get a license to carry class and learn some of the stuff, that's what we do in the class partially. If you're looking to get a good gun at a good price, go to ANC Firearms. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the Facebook page and look at the picture of the P320 and see it. It looks pretty good if that's your thing. It's also got a light rail on the bottom, an accessory rail, so you can put a flashlight on it, which I highly recommend you do if you have a handgun, is to have a light rail on it so that you can adapt it for putting a flashlight on it. Because the last thing you want to do in the middle of the night is have a gun in one hand, a flashlight in the other, when you got to open doors, possibly defend yourself, have a cell phone in the other hand. You want the flashlight and the gun all together. So go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Call them at 254-983-4417. Remember, they sponsor this program. It's support from them that keeps the show on the air. So they support me. I ask that you support them. Check it out. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. Trey, with that, let's take a long break. And when we come back, I'm going to have a very special guest on. Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine Repair, formerly known as Cameron Seed Company here in Cameron. And we're going to go over the preparations for the upcoming spring season. We'll see you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation. including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program is January 20th, 2018. And to my left, I have here sitting with me Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine and Repair, formerly Cameron Seed Company, right?
That's right.
And Kyle, welcome to the program. You were on here last time, and we had a great time, and we're back again. So
yes,
say
sir.
Hi to everybody.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, you got to speak up a little, buddy. Kyle, we got together because, one, you're a fantastic supporter of the program, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And you also provide a fantastic service to the public here. Why don't you give everybody a general idea of what you actually do, and then we can go into some specific details. And ladies and gentlemen, spring's right around the corner here. So the number here is 254-697-6633. If you've got some questions concerning what to do, how to do, where to go, what to do when it comes to lawn care and machinery and all this kind of stuff, give us a call here at the station. So Kyle, go ahead and explain to everybody who you are, what you do, and all the good stuff you got.
Well, Kyle Van Cleve, the new owner of Cameron Small Engines, formerly Cameron Seed Company, purchased it from my dad. This is, we just completed our first year under the new name and my ownership. Mainly what we do, the bulk of what we do is outdoor power equipment repair, sales and service. We offer parts. We also do ATV and utility vehicle repair, but not got any formal training on it. I've just used the training I have from four-stroke and two-stroke theory from the outdoor power equipment industry and apply it to ATVs and utility vehicles.
You know what I've noticed?
It served me pretty well.
You know what I've noticed, Kyle? The only difference between what you just said and somebody else is they may have a piece of paper. And so when somebody's looking at a person applying for a job, you could have this guy with no documentation, smartest guy ever, and there's a guy who maybe is okay, but just happened to go to a school and has got a piece of paper. So if you're looking at him without them being in the office and you got to pick one, you might pick with somebody with the paper. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this guy knows what he's doing. He's been around forever working on this stuff. And I talked to him. He knows his stuff inside and out.
Yeah, we're as far as qualifications, I'm EETC certified, master certified. That's Engine and Equipment Training Council. Also a Briggs & Stratton master certified. I have some tier of Honda training, but it's been a while since I did it, so I'm not sure where I'm falling there. It's silver or gold or something like that. They have different qualifications. Hadn't met master status on that yet, but yeah, any outdoor power equipment, that's what we do. We also offer lawn and garden products and lawn and garden seeds. And that end of the business is kind of shrinking and the other is taking off.
All right, well, now, Kyle, let's do this. We got about, I don't know, we got a phone call. I'll tell you what, let's see what's going on here. Maybe somebody wants to talk about machinery here. What do we got? Thank you for calling. Appreciate that dial tone. Now, Kyle, we got about 15 minutes here. Let's go over, you're here because I asked you on because the spring is coming and I know I've got two lawnmowers in the garage, okay? I got a weed whacker and all this kind of stuff. Let's go over what's the biggest problem at this time of the year when it comes with people on their equipment and you dealing with the business. Let's talk about it and let's just get all the stuff out and tell everybody what the main problems are.
Well, my biggest issue and everyone else's biggest issue is they wait until March to pick up that equipment, and then they have a lawn mowing emergency, and it's not their problem, it's my problem. Okay. So, right. So, what I would suggest to everybody, about 90% of what we do is fuel-related stuff. The nature of the fuel we've got, it rots, and it has a problem with the almost everything is carbureted now. Things are starting to get into fuel injection technology. We're 30 or 40 years behind the auto industry. In the outdoor power equipment industry, the power sports stuff has been into fuel injection for a while, but gasoline has a shelf life and it rots just like milk does. Milk has a shelf life. You know, after you've had it for a week or 10 days, it's probably, you need to sniff it. I mean, at least, or if you're brave, taste it. And gasoline does the same thing. It rots and it deteriorates and it's got a shelf life. Now, it does last a lot longer in your vehicle. You can park a car for a year. Maybe have to go back and jump it or put a new battery in it, but it's going to start. And the reason it can start is the system is intelligent. It's got fuel injectors. It's got sensors all over it that's telling it about the condition of that fuel and how it's burning. And that system is smart. A carburetor is dumb. All it does is it feeds fuel and air. If it feeds fuel and air on rotten garbage fuel that has lost all of its boom, I don't know if you've ever seen a gas can sit there and sweat fumes off of it. Mm-hmm. Those fumes are the boom that your engine needs to run. And that carburetor atomizes that fuel and those fumes into something that is not quite liquid anymore. Anyway, it's got to have that. Once it's compressed, it'll combust and burn, and you'll, you know.
They always say the fumes are more dangerous than the actual liquid
that's right.
itself, right?
That's right. And if that can you've got or your lawnmower's been sitting there sweating off those fumes for 8 months, 6 months, you know, it's been sitting from fall, here come to spring. You've lost all that boom. It's not going to run. All that's left is the heavy stuff, and that heavy stuff will not burn.
Literally, it won't run, or it's going to run very spotting.
If it runs, it will run like junk. It will sound terrible and perform very poorly. Like, for instance, if you've got a riding mower and you're ready, it does start. You finally get it going. It's kind of running rough, but you think it'll take off and
so
go.
So after 5-7 years of The Walking Dead, and these guys are still driving cars like really well, it's we're making believe here, right?
You know, yeah, probably.
Okay, it's all Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right, so the main problem is fuel related. What can we do to maybe aid that process from not deteriorating so fast? Or I don't know. Tell us what you got here to help fuel out.
Well, what you can do, there's one thing you can do, and it's an expensive alternative. You can buy canned fuel, and that canned fuel you can buy in the 5 gallon, 55 gallon drum if you want, and it's supposed to have an infinite shelf life until you open it.
Mm. Can you put it on hold? I'll tell you what, let's take this call.
Go ahead.
Welcome to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, Matt, this is Mark. And you're fantastic for having this guy on in there today. Cameron Small Engine Repair, they've been taking care of my stuff for at least the last 10 years that I've been living in Cameron. And they're fast, they're top-notch, and if you have any questions, they are so happy to talk about it and explain things to you when you're right there in the shop, even though they're backlogged because everybody loves them and brings their equipment to them. like he's saying, don't wait until March. Do it now while you can. And I want to tell him thank you very much personally for all the great services that they do for me. Wow. Now get back and teach us something.
Thank you, Mark.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it. I concur with you totally because I've been dealing with the Van Cleaves for quite a long time. They're just awesome people. So is Kyle. Great upbringing, and it shows here. Okay, we were talking about the fuel and how to save the fuel. Go ahead.
Yeah, the canned fuel, you can buy it. We've got a vendor for it, and I don't keep it because I've got no demand for it. So I don't tie my money up in something that people aren't going to purchase from me. But you can get it. It's supposed to be good forever. I don't know how they know it's good forever.
Wait a minute, that'd be a great supply for people who are preppers, because this is a prepper kind of show too.
It would be. The trouble is, it's like 20-something a gallon. It's not real cost-effective.
It doesn't matter when the world goes to hell and you need gasoline.
Sure,
I'm interested in that. So how large are these cans?
You can get it in a 55-gallon drum if you want.
A 55-gallon drum. So you multiply that by $20 per gallon, and that's how much you're...
There's probably a price break on something that big, but you're still into big money when you're talking about 55 gallons.
I'm very interested in that.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that's something you can get. So what you'd want to do, and the reason that the ethanol-free is good is the ethanol... These cars that run are flex fuel vehicles. They'll run on E85, which is 15% gasoline and 85% ethanol. They have special fuel lines. They have special rubber components. Everything in it is special because that ethanol is very, very corrosive.
Corrosive, that's what I heard.
And matter of fact, they can't pipeline it. Ethanol is 100% trucked because it will eat pipelines.
Wow.
So anyway, that's in all of our fuel now, and some vehicles are made to run on 85% of it and 15% gasoline. And by the way, if you didn't know, the fuel economy drops drastically when you do that, if you didn't know that.
So well, clarify that again. I missed that part. What were you saying?
The fuel economy on E85. When you go E85, you got a flex fuel vehicle, you can go put E10 in it, which is 10% ethanol and 90% gasoline.
Okay.
You get better fuel economy on that than you do on E85. I don't know how much it drops, but it's pretty significant.
This is stuff going way past my head. Okay. What you got this here? I want to put this in the video here. Is this the one we were just talking about?
Yeah, that is Power Fuel. It's made by Echo.
I'm showing it on the video, everybody.
It's got it's gasoline with two-stroke mix in it. It's pre-mixed fuel. You don't have to buy your separate mix, which that stuff is good, but this stuff is already in it. You just pour it in your can. This will be for your chainsaw, two-stroke chainsaw, two-stroke trimmer.
Let me make something very clear, ladies and gentlemen. I'm showing this in the video, and the video will be posted probably around Tuesday. You're going to look at this can, and don't you dare go somewhere else because it's a buck cheaper or something. Kyle here is sharing his knowledge with you. He's helping you out. He's showing you what you got. Support these guys, okay? So take a look at that on the video. Come Tuesday, you'll be able to see it. Now, Kyle, what else you got to support this here?
This right here is a product called Ethanol Shield. It's made by B3C Chemicals, B3C Products. You can use it for a number of things. It's you can use it as a fuel stabilizer because it qualifies as such. This product here has a fuel stabilizer in it, so you don't have to treat it, but you can use it in conjunction with this and get some ethanol protection properties out of it. This does a number of things. What the ideal thing would be to treat whatever gas you use, be it the canned stuff or the stuff that you get at the pump.
How does this compare to Stable?
The only way that it compares with Stable is just a stabilizer. This has ethanol fighting properties to it. Really, ethanol is kind of bad. It's really bad for any gasoline situation. The reason it's bad is it's hygroscopic. What that means is it pulls moisture in out of whatever environment it's in. In a gas can, for instance, or in your lawnmower, there's going to be an air cavity in there. You've got humid air exposed to it. It pulls humidity out of the atmosphere.
What does this?
The ethanol.
Ethanol, okay.
Now, if you treat it with this product, this prevents it from doing that. Or if you already have...
Is this kind of like heat? Only combined.
I have heard of heat, and I have heard people swear by it. I have never used it.
I'm from the north, and we used to use heat all the time.
That's probably why I don't know much about it, because that stuff is supposed to soak it up or something. I'm not sure how that product
but
works.
But this is a combination package. This is better than heat because it does.
This does
all
a number of things.
That's
it's
right.
A very cool product.
This is fuel stabilizer. What's it called?
Ethanol shield. Mm-hmm. Ethanol shield.
Cool. I'll tell you what, you're selling me now. I'm going to like, because I use Stable all the time to preserve my gas. But
so what you can do, they make a more concentrated version of this called Mechanic in a Bottle. And it's the same thing, just more concentrated. You can actually take an ounce of water and 2 ounces of the Mechanic in the Bottle and shake it up, and you don't see the water anymore. It's still in there.
Wow, how's that happen?
it's chemistry. It's really cool how it works. But the idea is, if you put it in your system that may be contaminated with water, you can agitate it and it will soak it up and burn it through the engine. Now, it will burn hotter because it will be burning leaner, but it will pass it through your engine without harming anything other than a little increase in temperature.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Van Cleve is homegrown. I've known his family for years. He's giving you information that you're not going to get from a basic store when you go to buy a bottle. They're going to say, you got credit card or cash? Okay. They say, did you find everything you needed? They're not going to help you. They're being paid minimum wage. And if you do find somebody who knows it, you got to think, are they just selling me or what? He's the real deal here. You need to check him out. What's the number they can get a hold of you?
254-697-3452.
Okay, there's a couple other things I want to talk to you about, but is there any, before we go into, I want to talk to you about weed whackers. There's a big thing about it because my back is killing me. But what other type of home remedies or what little tricks or tips can you give to somebody to get through the winter or to prep for the upcoming season before they come to see you? Because you know people are going to come. You know they're going to do it. They're going to like to know. You know, even though you're telling people these things, they're not going to, a lot of them are not going to do it. They just like to know, oh, I understand it now. He told me that. I'm going to bring it to him so he can take care of it. So give us some more ideas.
So if you want to try to stay away from the shop, here's what you would do come into summer. So the end of summer, it's getting cooler. There is some rain falling. You get a little bit of grass come up. Once you get that final mowing done, which most people around here did maybe a month ago, there's plenty of leaves on the ground. I'll tell you what I did. I went till all the leaves are off the trees and went till all the leaves are off of my neighbor's trees. And I don't rake and bag leaves. I mow them.
That's what I do. I shred them up.
Well, I mulch them. And the thing to do when you're done with your mowing, if you don't have any leaves, when you're done with your mowing, you're ready to park it, go get you an empty, clean fuel can. It doesn't have to be a new one. Go to the gas pump, get enough to completely fill up your equipment, treat it with this product. Or clarify
what it is.
This is Ethanol Shield. Okay. It's for fuel stabilization and ethanol bad stuff protection. It's all the negative stuff you get out of ethanol being in your fuel. Fill your fuel tanks full. Add this to it according to the label. And then start the mower and run it for 20 minutes. What you're doing there is getting that treated fuel, that fresh treated fuel with this in it, through your lines, in your carburetor, and then park it. So the reason you want the fuel tanks full is you get the sweaty Coke can. When there's a cold front coming through, you'll hear maybe on the radio station, they'd say, hey, make sure you go fill up your fuel tanks. That way you don't have your fuel tanks condensed.
Right.
You've got warm, humid air in that air pocket. If you got a half a tank, you got half a tank of air. It's hot, humid air. You get that cold front come in.
Yeah, that's another thing we learn up north. You just make sure your tank's always full.
So you want to prevent the condensation. And if you do condense, this product fixes that problem. So what this does, if you have some in your system, that will soak it up and you've got it in your fuel instead of pooling in the bottom of your fuel tank or pooling in the bottom of your carburetor. You get a rusted out carburetor, you bought a new carburetor.
Okay, now that's a great tip for prepping for the winter, but now we're coming into the spring. What can we do now?
Coming into spring, if you did that, run that fuel. I mean, it should go. If you got freshly pumped fuel, that's the key. There's from production to when it's in a tank at the production plant to it goes into a tanker. That tanker drives to the gas station, goes into the ground. How long is it from the production date to when it gets into the ground?
I think.
How long is it?
Okay. Another couple of points because we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. Another couple of points would be tires and battery, right?
Yeah. I mean, your battery, if you've got a battery tender or a battery float charger, park your lawnmower next to an outlet or run you an extension cord, hook up that battery tender, and that will maintain the battery over the winter. That being said, most lawn and garden batteries only last a couple of years. If you get 2 or 3 years out of it, you did real good. And the reason for it is the intermittent charging. Your automobile, they'll last 6 or 7 years, those batteries. And the reason is you're driving that thing day in and day out. The engine has got, you know, the car's got an alternator in it. Mm-hmm. It's charging constantly, daily. For prolonged periods, especially if you commute. That lawnmower, it's parked. It's not charging. And that battery deteriorates just sitting there. And if you have the float charger, that will make it last longer.
Okay. As time's ticking away, I wanted to ask another question. It's about weed whackers.
Okay.
Fortunately, I have my son. He cuts the grass, but I got to trim because he refuses to do it. Okay. So we have two different types that I've noticed. We have one with the straight rod, mm-hmm. and then we have one with the curved rod.
Yeah, curved shaft and straight shaft.
What's the difference? I've heard somebody say that the straight one is better for your back as compared to a curved one.
It really depends on personal preference and your height. I'm 6'2". I like the straight shaft. With the straight shaft, the way that head fits flush on the ground, I don't have to stoop or bend to get it to be flush. If you don't stoop, you don't have the string on that trimmer head straight and level,
right,
and you end up gouging your lawn, and it doesn't look pretty. If you have the curved shaft, if you're shorter, the curved shaft might be better for you, and you don't have to stoop. If you have the long reach, you probably would do better with a taller person.
And the other thing is, and this has to totally do with me because I'm just not good with mechanics, okay? I use mechanical things, and I can shoot things, but when it comes to repairs, I give it to somebody else. But you got where you hit the bottom of the head there, and it lets the coil come out.
Yep.
I'm like, it never works for me. The coil comes unraveled. So what I do is I get the head that where I snip it and put it in there, and this way I don't have to worry about it. I just replace the piece.
They call that, that's a rapid loader head is what they call that. Echo makes that, and we're an Echo dealer. They have, if you don't like the wrap and tap type, Echo has a new trimmer head called a speed feed, and it is a bump feed, but what you do is you line up two holes where you see daylight through the head, and you feed a length of string about 15 feet, and then you twist the top of the head, and it draws it all in, so you can load it without disassembling it. It's a pretty cool head.
Pretty interesting. Okay. All right, well, time's just about to run out. Let's do a final recap. Tell everybody what you suggest them to do, how they can come and get to see you, days open, how to call you. Do you have a website? Go ahead.
Yeah, website is CameronSmallEngines.com. We're also on Facebook. Kind of neglect Facebook because I'm the administrator of the business and a wrench turner, so it kind of goes
Understood.
By the wayside. So, I'm sorry, what was the first question?
Basically, how they can get a hold of you, when they should come,
yeah,
when's the best time to come?
8 to 5 Monday through Friday are our hours. When we come to spring, March, April, and May, we're open half a day on Saturdays, 8 to noon.
When do you expect the mass rush to hit you so that people can come before then?
Let's see, this is middle of January, probably middle of February. So if you can get here between now and the middle of February, when people figure out the sun's about to come out again.
Book me in there, okay.
Okay. And what I would suggest now is go ahead, whatever equipment you're planning on using in a month and a half, go ahead and run out to the garage or wherever you've got it stored and fire it up now. If it doesn't start and run for you, go ahead and bring it in.
Okay.
Or you can
one,
do some basic
One other quick
question.
What's the reason, main reason blades go bad besides rocks?
Sand.
Sand. Just dulls it up, right?
Sand. And Milam County has got a lot of sand. Milano has got sand. People in Milano, you can probably count on replacing blades. If you're mowing regularly, probably count on replacing blades two or three times a year.
Let's clarify. Replacing blades or resharpening as compared to hitting stones?
Replacing. You take sandblasting. You clean up metal with sandblasting. Well, if you keep going, once you've got it clean, it will cut through your blade. I mean, your blade's gone.
Okay.
There's a wing that stands up on the back side of that blade to move air, and the air that moves is what discharges your grass. That sand hits the back side of the blade, and it's a flat surface. It just cuts it right off right there.
Fantastic.
So the cutting edge is present, and the wing is gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to support this man. He supports the show, and he's good. He's got his stuff down. He knows what he's doing. So support Kyle there at Cameron Small Engine and Repair, and he'll appreciate it, I'm sure. Kyle, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Tell one more time how they can get a hold of you.
254-697-3452 is the phone number. Email csmallengines@gmail.com if you want to, and website's CameronSmallEngines.com, and find us on Facebook under Cameron Small Engines.
Fantastic. Trey, let's take us out for a break, and when we come back, Master Cindy Key is going to probably throw me against the wall or something. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rocktail at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, January 20th, 2018. We're here live for the next 5 minutes or so with the awesome Master Cindy Key from Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Ms. Key, welcome to the show again.
Welcome. Just forgive my voice. I'm fighting this stuff like everybody else, allergies and all that stuff. But today I want to talk about somebody coming up from behind. I think we might have done this before, but I'm going to do a little bit different take on it today. Of course, always pay attention. Hopefully, you don't let somebody get close enough to grab you. You know, that's, you know, you don't want that. Always pay attention. But let's say you're in a crowd and they do get a hold of you. There's different ways. I think the last time we talked about prepping with a chamber and then punching out. This time, I am going to make fists. I'm right-handed, so I want to use my right hand. If you're left-handed, you'd step to the right. I'm right-handed, so I'm going to step to the left. And if I can, I still want to get my hand between his grab and my, to where he can't come up to my throat. I want with the knife hand, but I want to step and I'm going to hammer fist the groin until he loosens up. Probably going to hit him with some elbows, one to the ribs because I'm short. Come up to the jaw, grab behind the head. I'm not letting go of this arm because I don't want him to grab me with this hand. All I have to worry about is that one, which I'll hit him with, and I'll bring my knee up to block and hit him in the ribs before he can do that. Probably hit him in the groin again and just keep beating him. And as I'm beating him with my knee, I'm getting to the side of him. On the video, you'll be able to see it, but I'm trying to track to where he can't reach me as well with his other hand. The more
I'm trying to keep myself up, so this hand is occupied.
I'm probably going to attack his arm too so he doesn't think about grabbing me. And then I'm going to take his knee out. But I'm going to try. I want to track away from him. I don't want to stay with him behind me like this. I don't want to stay here because the longer I stay here, the more trouble I can get into. So I step, hammer fist that groin to get a reaction, elbow to the ribs or the solar plexus to the face, wrap his head. I still have his hand. Now I'm going to start using my knees, and as I use my knees, I'm tracking away from him toward the arm that I have a hold of so that I can get over here, tack that elbow, take that knee out, maybe give him the last punch.
Wow. But that's pretty good.
Yeah, you just don't want to stay there because once you stay there, if you stay there, then they grab real tight, grab tight. Okay, now he can start dragging me. So if I don't make my move and he starts dragging me, now I might be in a different place.
What I noticed, Ms. Key? You're shorter than me. And so I got to really stoop down low to lock your arms in because I'm up here on your shoulders and I'm going to slip off real easy. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing to pay attention to it too.
Yes, sometimes being short is an advantage. Sometimes it is.
Okay. We got a little bit of time left. Do you have anything going on special?
I extend, like I said before, I extended my Christmas special through the month of January, but that's as long as it's going to go. Okay. And that's $99 for two-month trial membership, and it's for, of course, new students only. But that's what I've got going on now. If somebody wants to just come learn some self-defense, I would do some private lessons, and it could be like up to 4 people for that same charge.
Okay.
So they would just need to get with me on that and figure out a time.
And how can they get a hold of you?
My number is 254-721-2775, and you can call or text.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, support Master Key. She does an awesome job. Known her for years. She's very consistent, knows what she's doing. So check her out. If you got some youngins that need some discipline, she can square them away, I'm sure. But look, Trey, what do we got? About a minute?
Yeah,
all right. With that, I want to just say we had a great time here. It was an awesome show. Check out the videos on YouTube at Aaron's Gun Shop. It should be up probably by Tuesday. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And support all the sponsors. So until next week, keep your powder dry. God bless.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country, harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind him switching sides and standing up and thinking.